But if you don't give team members the opportunity to feel safe in an environment to push the boundaries, they will never grow to their potential. And I think that's really important for us to understand is that we have to, as leaders and as business owners, we have to give our team members the opportunity to flourish.
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson.
Welcome back, everybody. For new listeners, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub. For everybody else, I'm super excited to have you back. If you're not already following a lot of our other podcasts, what are you waiting for? Everybody should know Sully's podcast, Millennial Dentist, and T-Bone Speaks, but many of you may not know there's another podcast that is targeted just to team members and all things amazing that they're doing. And that's hosted by Meredith and Aubrey. And that's the Dental Diaries. It sounds like really intimate and amazing. And it is really good. So if you're not aware of that, you should check it out. But more importantly, like docs, you should really be telling your team members about this, because that's something that they probably want to listen to. Last week, you guys were stuck with just me, and for better or worse, it was awesome. But this week, as promised, we have another guest again, even though we had a little hiatus there for a little bit. This week's guest, I'm really excited about, because there are certain people you meet in your life and through your dental career, and a lot of them are dentists and educators. And then there's certain times you meet people that like just surprise you. And this individual totally surprised me, because she actually was an attendee at one of my courses, and then kind of went, like, took everything in that we were teaching and went all out, and has really kind of redefined what I view as the kind of like the optimal team member integration. So this week, I want to talk a little bit about smile design and team integration and how we can start doing clinical dentistry that's based on our team members, allowing us as clinicians to do certain things, but also elevating our team members to allow them to kind of do things that we never really thought were possible. So this week, all the way from Indiana, I've got Emma Arnold, who is a dental assistant with All in the Family Dental. Emma, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub. We're super excited to have you.
I'm super excited.
So Emma, like I said, was initially an attendee, correct, at one of our courses?
Yes.
How long ago was that?
It was about a year ago, I think. Yeah, about a year ago.
So I want everybody to understand this. About a year ago, Emma walked through one of our courses. She was part of one of our earlier smile design courses that we did. And our smile design courses that I teach are really tied to maximizing exocad and 3D printing to take the full arch cosmetic workflow from start to finish. And Emma walked in with Emma, did you even have any exocad experience prior to that?
None. I only had designed like crowns on Cerac, and that was it.
So Emma walked in with like no experience, and we forced her to start doing exocad. And what's amazing about Emma's team members and the doctors that brought her is that the doctors basically didn't want to do anything. Like, her doctors just kind of like were like, Emma, you're going to do this. And Emma designed and did all that stuff. But what I want to kind of highlight tonight is Emma's journey, because in less than 12 months, Emma has gone from not knowing anything about exocad and digital design and smile design and cosmetic dentistry from that standpoint to literally, you guys, she designs cases better than I can. And I pride myself in being able to design a case effectively and efficiently, and it looks good. Emma has humbled me from the standpoint of like, she can do it better, faster, and quicker. And so we're going to learn how she got there, which is kind of cool. But Emma, before we get there, tell us a little bit about you. Like, How long have you been in dentistry? Where were you before dentistry? How did you get to be a part of all the family, all of that process?
So I'm born and raised in Henderson, Kentucky, not from Indiana. I'm from Kentucky, but I started working at a dental office when I was a senior in high school. We had at my school what's called like a co-op position. So you could go out and like get credit hours for working at, you know, wherever you were trying to go, like your career path, basically. And so I started working at a dental office in my hometown, a very small one with a very old dentist that was old school, very old school, like had root canal equipment from 1998, old school.
For the record, Emma, I like that you think that 1998 is old school. So for of us that have been practicing like 1998, and to me, that seems like just the other year, like just a year ago. But I like how for you that was old school. Like my kids right now, they joke like, were you born in the 1900s? And that means basically anything other than the 2000s is the 1900s.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's colonial.
Like people like me that are well into my, I'm not a baby dentist anymore, and I was well into my life in 1998. But okay, so 1998, old school dentistry. I love it.
And like we just did fillings, crowns, root canals. He loved root canals. That was his like thing. And I just, when I started working there, I was just like a Steri-Tech. So I did the sterilization. You know, I did everything from Steri, flipping rooms, just helping get patients back, getting them started. We were always waiting on the doctor. So I was always just kind of patient's company, like, you know, trying to keep them in a good mood while they were waiting.
All right. I got to ask.
Up to three hours.
It's an old school dentist. So like, what was the paging system? Was it the lights or was it like a sticky note? What was it?
We had a communication system. I think it was called like Yappy or something.
Okay. So, I mean, the old school guy wasn't that old school. I mean,
there was a little technology.
The physical lights. Yeah, yeah. So he wasn't that bad. All right. So you were,
he had some technology. I was with him for like 4 years. So from senior to high school, just doing like internship stuff up to like my sophomore year of college, about 4 years. Yeah, something like that.
So how did you end up with all the family?
So I got pregnant. I have a little girl, a daughter. And when I got pregnant, I was still in school and I was trying to get into hygiene school. But then I just decided to stick with assisting at the time. It just wasn't the right time to try to get into hygiene school. And then when I had her, I went on maternity leave, which was like 8 months. And I never wanted to go back to my old job. It just wasn't a great environment. So I wasn't even like looking for a place to work. But a girl I used to work with at this office was now working at All in the Family. And she reached out to me saying they were looking for an assistant. And I was like, what the heck? Yeah, sure. I'll go see what they have to offer.
So, okay. So you start with All in the Family. So the reason we're going into kind of like the deep dive of Emma's background is because I think it's really important that we all understand the journey. And when we like from an outside, like a 10,000 feet view, it's really easy for people to say like, hey, this isn't my practice. I don't do this. I don't do that. And what I think is amazing about Emma's journey is that Emma started as a basic dental assistant, a Steri-Tech, that kind of stuff, and moved from there. And so for those clinicians that have practices where like, hey, this is what we do, but I'm like, I kind of want to do a little bit more. Or maybe we have team members that we just, you know, we know in our gut that like, hey, they could be doing so much more than they are. A lot of times people just need the right opportunity. And that's what's amazing about Emma's journey is that she's had this great opportunity to kind of to do what she's doing now. But ultimately, when she started, we all need to understand that she didn't get hired to do digital design and smile makeovers and all these kind of things. She got hired to be a dental assistant. And for most of us, a dental assistant, especially a newer dental assistant, like we're having them do basic restorative functions. We're, you know, sucking spit, turning over rooms, sterilization, basic restorative. And I think there's an opportunity for us to see individuals that could do so much more. All right. So you joined with Alton Family. You got hired. How many doctors does Alton Family have?
At the time, I think they had, yes, they had four doctors working.
So were you like tied to all four, or were you like, you're with this doctor, or you're just kind of like, what was your role back then?
Well, when I first started there, I don't think they had a specific position they needed me for yet. I think they just kind of liked me from the interview and were like, okay, yeah, we want her to work here, but we don't really know where we're going to put her. So I just kind of got thrown in. I was shadowing Dr. DJ for a little bit, and then I started working for another doctor, and then I kind of just stuck with her, and they kind of put me with her.
And you kind of evolved from there. So, like, as you're kind of going through this, like, this is, what year is this?
2022.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 22.
So you're in a four doctor practice, kind of that. What's the scope of practice that this office is doing currently? Like back in 2022?
I mean, we were doing pretty much everything that you can consider general dentistry, fillings, crowns, root canals here and there. We only had one doctor that was really doing the root canals. They were placing implants. I don't think it was 100% guided surgery, but I think that's pretty much it. There might have been a couple like full crown cases, like full mouth rehab cases here and there, but not really a whole lot, like not every week kind of thing.
And how did you feel about like your position at that time? Like what you were doing then?
Always just like I want to like just try to help everyone like all at once, like, so I just told him, I was like, just tell me what you need me to do to help everyone, and I'll do it, like whether it's filling up distilled water for our autoclaves or helping people flip rooms, like helping secondhand assist people, assisting the assistants with fillings when the doctor would prep them and then let the assistants fill, I would kind of assist the assistants, that kind of stuff.
So you kind of basically were just like a jack of all trades then. So what? Okay. So because I think this is what's really important for a lot of us to hear, because a lot of us can relate to that. We have team members in those situations. We have team, like assistants that are doing those roles. What was the catalyst that really kind of changed your role within that practice?
So, well, I was assisting one of like the newest associates, but then Dr. DJ, who was doing some guided surgery and some like cosmetic cases, like the front four veneers or something like that, his assistant was pregnant and she was going to be going on maternity leave, and they were going to need someone to kind of fill in. So, I mean, I guess he was considered a little bit more advanced than the associate that I was already working with, who was just basically doing fillings and crowns. He was doing some oral surgery, and he was the doctor that was doing the root canals. So whenever she went on maternity leave, they wanted me to like kind of sub in and assist him.
So that's what kind of like all of a sudden you jumped into a role that was more than just that basic role from the standpoint.
Right.
So how was that transition for you? Were you given like a lot of training, or was it just kind of like jump in and learn as we go?
It was funny because like Dr. DJ reminded me so much of the old dentist I used to work for, as far as like, you know, he's a little OCD about some stuff and pickier than the associate I was currently working with. You know, she was more a little laid back, but I was used to working with a doctor like that. And when I started working with him, we just like instantly started vibing. You know, we were like two peas in a pod. He was 6'3" and I was 5 feet tall and had to stand on a stool to see sometimes. But we just like instantly click, and I could read his mind within like, I feel like, a couple of weeks of working with him.
And it kind of just clicked. No, and that's, I mean, like right now you truly kind of sound like the majority of our like A-level assistants, where we're like our go-to people. And then so you're with Dr. DJ, and then you're covering this maternity leave and doing all this. When, like, how did, because right now there's four doctors and there's two owners, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got Dr. Ali and Dr. Adam that are the owners of your practice, correct? So when did the transition start where you went from just doing the quote-unquote lowest level assisting duties from the standpoint of like fillings and crowns to then maternity leave, some oral surgery? When did it start transitioning that you were doing a little bit more with Dr. Ali?
So the first year, I think it was 2023, they had the annual 3D summit convention. I actually, that was my first time going out with them and like actually like kind of learning about 3D and like what 3D was. And I listened to a speech by Mr. Tim Anderson. And
what?
I was engaged for like an hour and a half listening to this doctor talk about 3D printing and dentistry. And I was like, what? I was like, what is that? And I didn't even know that was a thing in dentistry. And Dr. DJ, he had been talking about how he wanted to start designing his own surgical guides, because at the time it was just Dr. Adam. He was designing, you know, Dr. DJ's cases, and Dr. DJ's thing of control. He wants to know how he's getting there. Like, how's this implant being placed? And he just wanted to kind of see that process, how it started and how he got there. So he wanted to start designing his own surgical guides. And there was like a course coming up like a week after the summit for 3D printing, like the basic of 3D printing. And we were going to be taught how to design surgical guides. And I was like, can I go? Can I go with him to the course?
And so you go to the course, and then, I mean, talk to us a little bit about the course, because I think so many times a lot of dentists, when we start looking at courses, we think of ourselves, like our own growth and all that. But clearly this was one of those things, like, you know, I would love to have a team member be like, hey, Tim, like, I really want to go to this course. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a hygienist right now who is bound and determined to get me to take the team to Italy because she found all these Italy cruises that do dental education. But I would love for a team member to be like, hey, I want to do this. So you went and did the 3D printing course with DJ, correct? Okay. What was your take? Like, how did you feel leaving that course? Like, what was your journey after that?
Well, I remember at the course, I had already looked up like videos about what exocad was, because you were talking about it at the summit. And I was like, I had only ever used the CRAC software, but I saw what you could do with exocad. And I was just so intrigued. And like, I just wanted to get my mouse clicking on it and get to exploring it. Because it's crazy what you can do on it outside of the patient's mouth. But I was like sitting in the class and just thinking, I was like, this stuff is so cool. I was pretty much just like in shock the whole time, because I have never heard of this stuff before. And 3D printing and digital smile design, I didn't know any of that was a thing. And like, I feel like I just took away from that because I've always been a tech nerd.
What I think that's important for people to realize is that, like, you know, you got Emma here saying that, like, she didn't even know this was a part of dentistry. And if, like, these are all the missed opportunities that we have in our practices. And that's like, honestly, Emma, like, I mean, I love you, but I'm like, I really wanted to get you on here tonight because your story is so great, because there are so many Emmas within our practices, our existing team members, that we as clinicians don't realize are there. Like, if Emma was still with that old school doctor that was doing the old school root canals from 1998, and then like, then she wouldn't be like, she would have never grown into the woman that she is now. And I think that's really, really important for us as clinicians to really understand, is that if we don't facilitate opportunities for our team members to grow and level up, all of a sudden, like, nothing really happens within our practice. Then we sit in there, look at our practice, like, why is our practice not growing, or why are these people doing that? Yeah. And then you look at everybody else and you see what other offices you're doing, and you don't think that's your practice. And you guys didn't have that practice. And then it's now, when you look at what you guys now, I mean, it's crazy. So one of the things that I think is important for people to understand, like, Emma, you started as this, like, hey, I got into 3D printing. So, like, you got done with this 3D printing course. And then what was the, like, what did you want to do after that? Like, when you guys got done with that course, what was the action plan?
So me and Dr. DJ, since I was his full-time assistant at the time, we were trying to think of when we could make time to sit down and start planning his implant cases, you know, because we had the tools, or we had the knowledge. Not the tools yet. The tools came much later. And we were trying to, like, think about how we can set aside time to sit down and start planning these cases together. And the next step was getting a laptop that it was just for, you know, me and him to sit down and design these cases, because Dr. Adam had a laptop for ExoCAD, but, you know, we just felt like we didn't want to have to ask him to get off his laptop so we can do our stuff. And we just felt like we needed one. So once we got it, we just tried to make the time to sit down, and we were starting to plan his cases. At that time, too, once I started planning some surgical guides, I could print to, like, models, just if someone needed, like, an Essex retainer, you know, 3D print a model, basic stuff. And I was doing that while I was full-time assisting Dr. DJ.
And that, I mean, and that's what I love to hear with your story, is that you kind of have all this independent learning that you like to do. And part of that is, like, clearly Emma has an interest in digital dentistry and the tinkering of software and all that. And not everybody is like that. And so I think what's important to understand is that Emma was never forced into this position. Emma kind of created her own position, which is what's really amazing where she is now, and which we're going to dive into, is that how that evolved from just, like, 3D printing some surgical guides and doing some of that design into kind of what you're doing now. So with, like, give everybody, all the listeners, kind of an understanding of, and you and I talked about this a little bit off camera, talk to us a little bit about, like, what is your role currently within the office?
So right now I do all the 3D printing for the office. So that's, I design night guards on ExoCAD. I design full mouth cosmetic mock-ups on ExoCAD. I design surgical guide stone.
Now, do you do this for all the doctors or just one?
All four doctors.
So I think this is what's, like, Emma, do you have a title technically? Are you still dental assistant, or do you have
I do have a title. My official title. Yes. If you look on our website.
What is it?
Under my name, it says 3D printing / ExoCAD expert.
Ooh, I would agree with that. What's amazing is that Emma has honestly taken on the role of a lot of the core, basically, services that we would utilize a digital lab technician for. And I think this is a topic that in dentistry we really need to talk about, because so for everybody who's been listening to this, you know that Emma's, I'm in North Dakota, Emma's in Indiana. I've offered Emma a job. She does not want to move to North Dakota, but then she reminds me that digital dentistry is not bound to state lines, and that I can send her anything, and she's not wrong on that. But what's amazing is that Emma is highlighting an entirely new genre of team members that open up opportunities within our practice that we didn't even know we had. And so what's amazing about Emma's journey is she started off as just like a 3D printing, like, hey, we're going to do some models and some surgical guides. And then we evolved into, okay, well, I'm going to do all the night guards for the office. And that's what I think is important, is that Emma became the champion of 3D printing first. And then she has leveled up based on her interests and her skill sets. And she's earned the right to become the ExoCAD expert within her practice. That just does, it's not a title that she's just given. It's she had to earn that. I mean, you can't learn to do dental design without doing the hard work of all of it. And so you have to know dental anatomy, and you have to learn digital design, you have to do all that. But honestly, what's amazing about her story is that she needed the opportunity to grow. And if you give people, the right people, the opportunity and the right resources, it's amazing to watch them flourish. And Emma's a perfect example of somebody who ran with it. And yes, honestly, she's made herself irreplaceable, which is kind of cool.
That's what they told me.
Yeah, Emma kind of knows this too now. She's like, nobody else can do what I do in the office. Like, I kind of
even though
I
Dr. Adams says he's better at 3D printing than me.
Adam's really good with titanium. Adam is not very good with resin, but he's an amazing implantologist and dentist in person. What I want everybody to take home from this, all of the things we're kind of discussing here tonight, is I want us to reflect on our own practices. And I want us to look at our team members, and I want us to look like within our practice, like, hey, who have I overlooked, or who have I not given their opportunity? And sometimes it's the person you don't expect. Like, honestly, I have a front desk team member who is so undervalued from the standpoint of what she's capable of that I'm like, I know in my heart that I'm like, I got to get you out of the front team. Like, yeah, I know you are so much more valuable than that, because people just show those skill sets and those aspirations. And you can teach people how to do things, but you can't teach people to want to do things. There's a big difference between that. And Emma wanted to do more. She wanted to do more with the digital side. She wanted to do more with the dental or the design standpoint. And her team, luckily for her, she wasn't in that old school practice. She has the opportunity to kind of like dive into that. So, Emma, you're now doing all the designs, which I think is like the surgical guides and the occlusal guards is great. That's a great stepping stone for most offices. That's where most of us will get to. Like, I think most offices that are running at a really high level with regards to digital design and 3D printing are going to have the occlusal guard specifically, that workflow team driven. Like, it's driven by the team members. Where I think you're a little bit of a unicorn is that you've now taken over the digital cosmetic mockups, like the digital designs and the trial smiles for your office, correct? So talk us through how you went from taking a basic 3D printing course with yours truly to doing cosmetic restorative design mock-ups, trial smiles, and all that. Like, how did that happen?
So I feel like I keep saying this, but it's always when someone's on maternity leave.
You know, thank goodness for babies, right?
Right? It's just open door of opportunities. I told Dr. DJ at this course, I was like, because he was like, he said something about, well, you can't leave me yet. We're just getting started as his assistant. And I said, well, what if I want to like just do all 3D printing stuff and like start using ExoCAD like to design teeth, like mock-ups? And so there was another girl who was out on maternity leave, Kaylin, another assistant at the office. And they said whenever she got back starting in January that she was going to, you know, try to full-time assist DJ so that I could, you know, move only doing 3D printing and digital smile designs.
And so you didn't know how to do a smile design. How did that happen? Because I didn't teach that in the basic 3D printing course. Like, smile design was not a component of that.
We took the smile design course first. I think we did.
You eventually went to it.
Yes, we eventually went to the smile design course. I think I was trying to I would put a tooth like back in a model for like someone who was missing one and like kind of mess with that a little bit, but I wasn't like designing like a mock-up for someone to like copy and prep, and I wasn't doing any of that. And then I think eventually we took a smile design course, I think. Yeah, I can't remember.
It's been a whirlwind over the last few months.
It has.
I feel
like I've been to a million courses and learned so much, but I can't remember the first one.
Well, what's great is, so you're now doing some of these smile design things. And, you know, the perfect world is a dentist. Like, I would love to have a team member doing smile design, but the big hang up is, like, I, as the dentist, you know, I've got this, I went to all this school. And so I know all this stuff about dental anatomy. Like, how can you as a dental assistant know this? Like, how did you convince your dentist that you were working with, like, that you could do the mock-ups and the digital wax-ups for them that normally they would be either usually sending off or doing themselves?
I think it all started kind of when Dr. Allie looked at me one day, and we had an ExoCAD computer that it was brand new. And she kind of said at the beginning when she ordered it, she wanted it to be for me specifically to maybe try to do some more small design stuff. And I think it was the day she was like, I need you to get that ExoCAD computer up and running. Somebody wants to know what their smile could look like. And she wanted me to design basically like a try-in smile that we had learned about from our small design course.
What I love about that, I need everybody to rewind this and listen to what she said there again, because she was in a situation that her doctor said, we need you to do this so that way we can show the patient. So many times it's all about that one opportunity, like to show up and stand up. And yeah, but like, it sounds funny, but in reality, team members, like sometimes you just got to step up to the plate. Just do it. Just do it.
I was waiting on someone to let me just do it. Like, just let me try. Like, let me just try to do it.
And there's so much like analysis for paralysis. Like people think, oh, I got to take this course. I got to take that course. I'm like, no, just do it. I mean, honestly, Emma, the first smile design case you do, or the trial smile or the mock-up or whatever it is, worst case scenario, what happens? Worst case.
Doesn't look great. Doesn't look beautiful.
So this tells you Emma's standard is that it doesn't look beautiful. For most of us, it doesn't look like shit. Like, I'm like, worst case scenario,
it might have looked like shit,
right? It looks awful and
bulky.
And then we're like, you know what? You know, we're going to send this to the lab. Like, honestly, like, that's the worst thing. Like, we deal in teeth, you guys. And so we cannot overthink this. And we need to provide an environment. And it's very cliche, but we need to give our team members a safe place to fail. And that is the only way we get good. I guarantee Emma's first mock-ups and trial smiles looked like garbage. I guarantee it. Partially because I was there and I've seen some of the early stuff, right?
Yeah, you did see the early stuff.
But now I look at where you've come now and I'm like, holy crap, how did that happen? Because Emma, I kid you not, designs better than I design. Like, I'll go down
try
this
to
later,
copy me.
I literally try to copy. I'm like, Emma, give me your strategies. How do you do this? But if you don't give team members the opportunity to feel safe in an environment to push the boundaries, they will never grow to their potential. And I think that's really important for us to understand, is that we have to, as leaders and as business owners, we have to give our team members the opportunity to flourish. And sometimes we, as owners, may not think they can do it. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. We have to be okay that people are going to fail. And that the best thing we can do is support them during that time and help mentor them. And how do we do it better next time? Because if you do it better next time, the sky's the limit. Because if you keep doing it better and better and better and better, guess what? All of a sudden, you are better than the lab technicians. You're better than, and I'm not trying to put the labs out of business. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a time and a place, but I think there's so many services that we could be keeping in-house for our team members and our patients that we're just missing the opportunity because we don't give our team members the opportunity to thrive. So that's my soapbox on that. So Emma, you're now designing, you know, you're doing your mock-ups and all these things, which I think is amazing. And you know, for a lot of offices, you're like, how do you design a mock-up? And really, I think Emma's been fortunate because Emma's had the luxury of using really good quality software from the beginning. Emma was trained and in her early days to see ExoCAD. And when you see ExoCAD, like, Emma couldn't go back.
It.
Yeah, Emma couldn't go back and like, okay, I'm going to do a full mouth case on Sarek. Like, boy. Emma's not going to do it. Like, it's just not possible. Not in enough tools. She doesn't have her libraries and her hotkeys. So, Emma, so now that you're doing this, what I'd love to hear is, I think your office is kind of paving the way from the digital smile design workflow. And I'm a big advocate, like I love technology, but I'm a bigger advocate for workflows. So walk us through, and by walk us through, I mean detailed, like tell us like who is doing it, how does the patient do it, how many appointments, that kind of thing, from the standpoint of like, you bring somebody in because your office does these amazing videos with these trial smiles. So you need to talk about that. But how you bring somebody in from that initial consultation, how you guys decide who gets a trial smile, what is a trial smile or emotional mock-up, how you do the mock-up, what it's used for, how you then on prep day transfer those mock-ups to the prototypes, how you use the prototypes, then fabricate the definitive restorations. Like how to walk us through the workflow that you and Dr. Allie, who's the primary owner doctor when she's doing these cosmetic cases, like you've now become like her right-hand girl for design. So walk us through that.
So when a patient comes into our office and that conversation's brought up that, you know, they just want a better smile. They want a brighter, a wider smile. You know, they kind of want everything in their mouth done, but they're on the fence because yes, dentistry is surprisingly expensive and they kind of just need to see it, to believe it, that it's worth it. Once that patient has made the decision like, hey, I want to see what my smile could look like, they will come back for a planning visit with our treatment coordinator, Kate, and I will have them a smile trial ready to go that I have digitally designed on ExoCAD. It's basically teeth that I designed to lay over their natural teeth. And it kind of just like fits, like snaps in just kind of like a retainer. And I 3D print that at the office. And then when they come back for their planning appointment to kind of go over all the treatment that we have planned for them, and then they get to see what their smile could potentially look like, and they pop the trial smile in and we take photos of their before and afters and kind of show it to them. Then they get financial arrangements to see how much the procedure could cost, whether they decide to do it or not. Majority of the time, people who are kind of on the fence, once they see the trial smile, they tend to want to go through with treatment. And then I take that smile trial design that I've already designed and kind of make it into a full working mock-up for prep day.
All right, so hold on, time out. So you're talking trial smile. So for everybody, like she said, a trial smile is, some people call it a trial smile, snap-on smile, emotional mock-up. Like there's also sorts of terminologies for it. But basically, it's an overlay that goes over the teeth that you're designing. One of the biggest kickbacks I get on team members and doctors, like how long does this take you to design in reality?
At the beginning, when I first started doing them, it probably took me a good like hour to like design them, okay, just because I felt like I was being really picky and like trying to make them look really, really good. And, you know, it was my first couple ones, so I didn't want to disappoint Dr. Abley.
Well, I think that's important. Like in reality, like I think people want like an instant gratification of like, oh, it just needs to be in a couple of minutes. But part of the process is the learning. Like learning right. The workflow, how do the buttons work? How do the tools on ExoCAD work? How to design this? How long does it, like, if I'm like, hey, Emma, I need a pretty straightforward, you know, anterior 8. How long is that going to take you to do a trial smile nowadays?
I feel like I can do a trial smile right now in about 20 minutes. Still a little picky.
And I will agree that Emma is very picky. When she says kind of picky, she's very picky. So 20 minutes to do a trial smile. So when you think about this team member, like, or docs, when you have team members, like I promise you, you have a team member that has an extra 20 minutes in their day or hour in their day or 2 hours in the day that they could be doing transformative dentistry, not sterilization, not turning over a room. Like we're talking moving the needle type of dentistry, because the trial smile and the emotional mock-up is utilized to close the case. It's not meant for people that are already on board. It's meant for that person who wants to see that, like, what's possible. And I think that's what's so powerful about what Emma does in the trial smile, is it gives people the opportunity to say yes to the best. Like, sometimes people don't even know what's possible, especially when they've been living with a smile that's like totally jacked up and they don't want to do anything about it. So the trial smile can be really really, really powerful. So you guys do the trial smile, and then say the patient's committed to treatment, and now we're ready to, like, okay, let's do this. We're going to do a full upper arch. Walk us through kind of your role as your, you know, you're the kind of the designer now with you and Allie. How does that work?
So once they commit to treatment, I basically will go back to their trial smile. I'll look at notes to see if the treatment coordinator said anything about what they like didn't like about the trial smile, if they wanted their teeth a different shape, or if they had something else in mind. And then I will do their actual working mock-up. So this is like the same ideal mock-up that you would get from the lab, that they idealize how the teeth are going to look with the brand new veneers or crowns on them. And then I use that mock-up. Well, Dr. Allie will use that mock-up. So I will design the teeth, and then I will have Dr. Allie check the teeth to make sure that she likes my designs and make sure that I'm not, like, over, you know, doing something that she can't, like, actually physically prep, you know, because we don't want to go into the bulk changer chamber or anything.
And I love that you say that, because, I mean, you chuckle like it's always no big deal. But as most clinicians, like, when we get a wax up back from the lab, or digital wax up or physical wax up, like, usually it just looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But we have no real concept of, like, is this, like, doable, truly possible? Like, can you do it? Like, and just like you said, you like, are we going to be in the pulp, or are the emergence profiles coming out, like, 4 millimeters from where that tooth eminence is? Like, all of those things, like, these are some of the valuable concepts that Emma's really grasped that makes a in-office digital designer so powerful. Like, when you have somebody in-office that you can bounce ideas and look at it like, hey, I like this, I don't like this, it's reality, we can do it or we can't do it, make some changes here, it streamlines the entire workflow.
Yeah. Communication with labs can be difficult because, you know, you can type a lot of words out in an email, but they might not fully understand what you're asking them. But Dr. Allie sits right next to me and checks my mock-ups, and we look at them and see what we like, what we don't like, and I'll change it right there on the spot. And she's like, yeah, that looks good.
All right, so talk to me, before we go down to the next phase of the workflow, talk to me a little bit about some of the biggest fundamental design concepts that you've learned from the standpoint of, like, where you started to where you do your designs now. Like, what things are you looking for that you didn't, whether it's like how you do line angles, how you do length or embrasures, like what it, like, because your designs have gone from, like, looking okay to looking freaking awesome. Like, we're like, like, how did lab worthy, like, seriously, like, what were some of the big takeaways that you learned over your learning? And then number two with that question, the follow up to that is, where did you learn it?
So I feel like at the beginning, like, the most, like, what I was looking for in the design was just, was everything symmetrical? Like, did everything look symmetrical? I try to design teeth based off of what they already have. So I try to basically give them new teeth that is just like their teeth, just better. Yes. So I just was looking for libraries, like tooth libraries on ExoCAD that were very similar to what they currently have. But then once I started to do more and, like, played with it more and, you know, saw what worked, what didn't work, now I am checking, like, are my mock-ups in line with their cervicals? Because unless you do an aggressive gingivectomy, you're not going to be able to get 3 millimeters above the cervical height for a crown or a restoration. I'm looking at occlusion because not losing their original bite, or if we're putting them into a new bite, me and Dr. Allie really are big on checking the bite and looking at the bite, because that's very important for proper function.
So you're all right. I gotta stop you here, because, like, you, even the way you speak, Emma.
I'm not Allie.
I know you're not Allie, but sometimes the way you speak, I think you are Allie. Allie's the dentist, by the way.
I've been to Allie boot camp.
Yeah, I mean, Emma, the way you speak and the way you, how articulate you are with regards to dental anatomy and design and all that, like, where did that come from? Because most of our team members that are dental assistants don't have that But they didn't go to 4 years of dental school to learn all the dental anatomy and terminology. Like, where did you learn all of these concepts of the symmetry, smile design, you know, line angles and all of that, like embrasure form and contact height and, you know, following the lip line and mesial inclination? Like, how did you learn all of that?
Well, I knew just a little bit of like occlusal anatomy just from my old office, because like some of our crowns that we milled were just like flat, you know, no occlusion. And our doctor was big on drawing anatomy. So he would make us, you know, take a burr after a crown was milled and like draw occlusal anatomy with our hand pieces. So that was like the first taste I ever got of like actually trying to like create a tooth to look like a tooth, you know, outside of the mouth. And that was like the little bit of knowledge that I had. But I mean, I learned a lot from smile design courses that you've taught about smile and like mesial inclination. And of course, Dr. Ali has taken everything she's learned and ran with it and has taught me everything that she feels like is, you know, a good smile design. I've also done my own like research, just a little YouTube university.
Love it. No, like, all right, you laugh about that, but I'm telling, like, everybody asks me, like, Tim, how do you, like, I think it's ironic because people, like, look at me like I'm this 3D printing expert. I'm like, where did you learn all this stuff? I'm like, YouTube. Like, literally
YouTube,
everything.
You can learn everything. Yeah.
So you're not wrong there. But what I think you, the important part that I took away from what you were saying there, like, I'm flattered that you went to my course and you did all that. And I love that. And I love YouTube. But what I think is most important is that you acquired what your doctor went and learned. So when Allie went to Spear, Coise, took the courses, did this or that or whatever it was, you're in an environment where the doctor takes the time. Doctors, you have to take the time to educate, review, mentor, and communicate with your team members so that way they can then understand and regurgitate some of the concepts that you're learning at all these courses that you're going to. And I think honestly, like, just telling your team members what you learn only goes so far. And I think Emma would agree with me that the most powerful way to learn is when you learn together. And 100%. That's what moves the needle, you guys. Like, Emma is where she is, not because Dr. Ali or Dr. GJ came back and was like, Emma, you need to do this, this, and this. This is what a tooth shape should look like. It's like, no, they brought her to the course and allowed her to experience it, allowed her to ask questions, allowed her to gain knowledge based firsthand instead of just being regurgitated at some team meeting. And so this is a simple yet foundational concept that so many of us, myself included, are missing when we start working with our team members. So the power of education together is crazy. All right. So going back, because I could derail on this forever. Going back.
Derail.
You've got the mock-up and all that. Like, so now it's prep day. You did your wax up. Allie's using this. I'm assuming she's making like, you guys are 3D printing the model and making like a putty reduction guide for her to prep through.
Well, she doesn't really do that anymore, but.
She should. She did when she prepped Dr. Sully's teeth.
She did. But it wasn't her mock-up, or it wasn't my mock-up. So, you know, it's a little distrust, you know?
So walk us through its prep day. Like, you know, the dentists are all about, like, prep day. So, like, you're doing a full arch prep day. Walk us through the appointment and what your role with Dr. Ali's role, how the printers are being used. Like, walk us through that.
So on prep day, I take the designs that I've done in exocad, and I will overlay them with their pre-op teeth, so what they have currently in their mouths, overlay that with my design teeth, and you can see, you know, virtually where you should prep more on a tooth, you know. And so I would basically screenshot that on my laptop and put that in the patient's file folder so that Dr. Ali would have those like pictures up in her operatory where she could, you know, look like I need to prep more on the occlusal number 12 so that I have enough room for the restoration. So I would do that for her. And then they would also have reduction guides that they would make from the model that I would 3D print. And then once Dr. Allie has all the teeth prepped, she will take a digital scan impression and I will just export that file to my drive and import it into ExoCAD. And I would already have their original scan with my mock-up teeth. And then I would take their prep files and switch out those digital scans. And basically, I would just shrink wrap to the margins of the preps based off of my original mock-up. And that would be what I would go on and 3D print for 3D printed temporaries or prototypes for the patient.
I've been telling you guys, if you've never done this workflow, it is the most satisfying, glorious spying thing on the planet. On so many reasons. A couple of reasons. One, when you do this, you're Emma used the terminology prototype, because what you're truly doing is testing out the exact design of your final restorations. So that's part one. Part two of this is that because she shrink wrapped this to the margins utilizing her mock-up that she designed, these things fit perfect. Like the tissue when it comes back after these prototypes are just absolutely, like, you have to see it to believe
it. Tissue is the issue.
It is the issue. Bone sets the tone. Tissue is the issue. No, right? Yeah, no.
Bone sets the tone.
Yeah, Dr. Adam would be happy about that. That's Dr. Adam concept.
Okay.
But the other thing that's really amazing about this is that it takes away from some of the stress of delivery. Like when you're testing out everything, like the deliveries are so simple because you've test driven everything.
Yeah.
And it just becomes predictable. And whether you're printing it or milling the design, it's the same thing. So, I mean, Emma is like truly exemplifying the top level workflow that allows her office to operate at a level that like other people just can't compete with. And what's amazing about that is like it's such a team driven workflow. Like Emma's not sitting there chair side assisting for all this, correct? No, Emma's hanging out in her happy place, which is the lab, which, mind you, I'm trying to get to that. Like, how do I be? I should just work for Emma is what I should do.
Slobs.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, but it's one of those situations, such a well-oiled team-driven workflow. But mind you, Emma started as a Steritech, spit sucking, drill and fill. Like
cleaning floors.
The basic, and there's nothing wrong with those roles, but if Emma didn't have the opportunity to grow, Dr. Allie would not be doing the number of arches she's doing right now. I am 100% convinced this, and I think Dr. Allie would advocate for the exact same thing. Like, she cannot do what she does without her team. Like,
she says that a lot.
It's not, but I live it as well. It's not possible. And what I love about this, and I want you team members and, you know, doctors, if you have a team member that like you feel like could be inspired to do stuff, like have them listen to this stuff. Like they need to relate to these concepts. And if you want to learn more about this stuff, this is something that both Emma and I are very passionate about, as well as Dr. Allie. And so Dr. Allie and I teach the smile design through 3D dentists together. And what we've seen with Emma is like she's so freaking good at this stuff is literally like Emma now teaches and demos components of this because I think it's so
only when forced.
You know, that's you sink or swim, and and Emma swims. She treads water very well, and then she's a fast swimmer. But you need team members to see other team members do this. And I think that's what's so, it's really easy for a dentist to be like, oh, just do it. But it's another thing to see a team member go from absolutely no dental anatomy straight out of high school and then evolve into a full digital designer that's literally dictating for her doctor like where things should or should not be. It's such a proud moment for all of us to see what's possible. And so I encourage you to look again within your team. Find those team members, find those opportunities like of people that can just do these amazing things, because some of the greatest people that will move the needle the furthest within your practice are already in your practice. And sure, they may just be in the wrong role. And so just reevaluating that just does some amazing things. So Emma, I could talk to you forever here. Like, Emma's one of my favorite people. You find people in dentistry that like just get it and are inspired and they value the same concepts and the same little details. Like, Emma and I,
we
value the same. We are. We like, I should not have been a dentist. I should have been a lab tech, and Emma should have. Emma is a lab tech, which isn't like, I'm jealous of her role.
Digital dental lab technician is what I would like my title to be, but there's not schooling for that.
I think that is a much better title than ExoCAD expert, because you truly are a digital dental designer. No, Emma, thank you so much for being on today. You know,
it
for
was
everybody
fun.
That wants to, if you want to meet Emma, come to one of our smile design courses. She's pretty much at all of them.
I'll be at the one in January.
We're here in January. When is the January one? I should know this.
Allie told me it was just going to be me and her. So it's at the ending of January.
There you go. So it'll be a ton of fun. But regardless, you know, we're coming onto the new year, guys. It is the new year for many of us. Make this the year of some change. Find one team member within your practice and just give them the opportunity to kick ass. Like, honestly, like, just give them the opportunity and you'll be shocked what can happen. Like I said, I'm trying to get Emma to North Dakota. We'll see what happens there. But
there.
It is very cold there right now.
I'm
right here
now.
But for everybody else, thanks for tuning in. We'll join you next week. But if anything comes up, let us know. If you have more topics that you want us to dive into, reach out. But for everybody else, thanks for joining us. And don't remember to smile. We'll check you next week.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.